Kevin Yip is still very, very sick, and so we're praying that the Lord will preserve him and restore him to health and strength, both for himself, for his family, and for the assembly. Continue to pray for the baptism classes, and we're looking forward to a time, a happy time soon, of baptisms. Name tags. Our fellowship lunches are a good opportunity to get to know one another, but it's always better if we know who we are. So please be sure to wear your name tags at these various lunches that we have. If you don't have a name tag, please take the time to put your name on the list on the rear table, and a name tag will be made for you. And I believe that those are all the announcements at this time, unless I've missed any. They're all in the will of the Lord. We're praying that the Lord will continue to be gracious to us and to bless. Take your Bibles, if you will, please, and turn to Psalm 116. Psalm 116. Psalm 116 begins with the lovely words, "I love the Lord." Do you love the Lord? And the answer is yes. You wouldn't be here this morning to worship the Lord if you didn't love the Lord. We love the Lord. I love the Lord, the psalmist said. So the question would be, why do you love the Lord? And we have a multitude of reasons relating to why we love the Lord. As we continue at the breaking of bread week after week, we continue to refresh our memories. We go back in our memories to all the good things the Lord has done for us. And we have lots of good reasons for loving the Lord. The psalmist says, "I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications, because he hath inclined his ear unto me." I suppose one of the most amazing things about the Christian life and the relationship we have with the Lord is that he hears us when we pray. Do you have difficulty recounting answers to prayer? I marvel how often, how speedily, encouragingly the Lord answers our prayers. And he doesn't always answer all the prayers all the time the way we want them. He just answers them enough that we say, "Thank you, Lord, we love you." His plans are far greater than our plans. And if we had a God who answered all the time, precisely as we prayed, then really we would be in an inverse relationship, wouldn't we, with God? If he answered this prayer on this occasion, on this schedule, every time I did this, then he would cease to be God, and I would be God. And I would cease to be the servant, and he would be the servant. The servant is the one who goes when his master calls. And the master is the one who sets the schedule and the priorities and the activities. But in the midst of this master-servant relationship, he the sovereign and we the subjects to his great will, but he takes us as subjects and he says, "No, I'm going to listen to your prayers." And he does so in such a way that as we contemplate all the Lord has done for us, we say, "I love the Lord because he heard me." And nobody else hears us. We often hear the stories of those people who plead and no one answers. It's true sometimes when you get to be very, very old. Often I would think in a hospital, and You might say, doctor, 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 and nobody comes. There are distresses in life, and they come. Children, I think, often experience the non-response of those who could respond. We say we love the Lord because he cared. The psalmist says, no man cared for my soul, didn't he? But we can't say that because Jesus cared for us. I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications, because he hath inclined his ear unto me. Therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. The response of those who acknowledge the Lord is they will continue to call. How do we respond to the fact that the Lord has been good to us? We say, Lord, I'm going to call again. It's me again, Lord. I'm here because you heard yesterday. I'm back again today. The response is, you answered, therefore I will call. And frankly, it would be a terrible thing to say, well, I don't want to burden the Lord because he heard my prayer once, so I won't bother him again. You try that with Mummy, see what she says. She says, listen, I'm here for you, and you have got to speak to me. You've got to tell me. That's the way relationships go. And so you might read it very quickly and say, this is terribly selfish. I love the Lord because he heard my call. Therefore, I'm going to keep on calling and calling and calling. And it's not the response of the selfish. That is the response of those who truly understand how good the Lord is. And so the psalmist says, therefore, I will call upon him as long as I live. Don't ever stop calling on the Lord. The sorrows of death compassed me. The pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then I called upon the name of the Lord. In the great, great, greatest distresses of life, what do? You call, and you repeatedly call, and you call again. The sorrows of death compass me. That's pretty bad. The marginal rendering says the cords of death compass me. It was as if death was reaching out and drawing the psalmist in. Those are tough days. There are in the lives of all believers days that are far more difficult than others. And there will be those days for each of us when, apart from the rapture of the Lord, we will face the sorrows of death. What do we do then? Call upon him the same way that we've been calling on him all along. The verse goes on and says, the pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Very interesting. I noted the marginal rendering in my Bible for that little word hell, the pains of hell. Apparently, it's from a Hebrew word which means to inquire. A lot of people say, you know, when you die like a dog. That's not true. When you die, you enter into that sphere of inquiry. And the Lord will inquire of each of us. When we get to that place, we will be answerable to the Lord. It's appointed unto men once to die, and after death, the judgment. Hell, Sheol, the place of the departed, is the place of inquiry, and the Lord will make inquiry at that time. Now, one of the questions he will ask is this, did I ever answer any prayer for you? And you will say, yes. And then he'll say, did you keep on praying? By the grace of God, we will say, yes. Of course, that's why he came. He came to answer, and therefore we keep on praying, and we keep on praying. It's marvelous. Verse 4 says, "Then I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul." That is the great prayer that we present to him in the great distresses of life. Verse 5 is the response of the psalmist. He says, "Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful." What was the response that the Lord gave to him? Why? It was that he was gracious. You prayed, I prayed. What did we find? Well, we found three things, didn't we? We found that the Lord is gracious, the Lord is merciful, and the Lord is righteousness. Hallelujah. The Lord preserveth the simple. That to me is very, very encouraging, because very often I don't even know how to pray as I ought. We're thankful that the Spirit of God makes intercession for us, but we're so simple. We don't even know how to pray. The psalmist understood that. And he says, the Lord preserves the simple. I was brought low, and he helped me. Praise the Lord. What's the response that follows that then? Verse 7, "Return to thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee." You just look back. And you say, now, has the Lord been good? Yes. Did the Lord give me everything I wanted? No, he knew what was best. Has he been good? And the answer is yes. Did he deal bountifully with us? Yes, he did. Did I get everything? No. He probably withheld from me all kinds of things that would not have been good for me. And when you get old enough, you can look back and you can say, I sure am glad I didn't get that. If I got that, it could have been a real problem. The Lord has dealt bountifully with us. Therefore, we return unto our rest. What do we rest in? We rest in the fact that the Lord has been good to us. Verse 8 says, "For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling." They're all three true, aren't they? He delivered our soul from death. By the grace of God, we got saved. We were bound for a lost eternity and terrible death. We put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and he has delivered us from death. And we're here this morning to praise him because he has given us new life. He has delivered our soul from death. That's past tense. He has delivered our eyes from tears. And it doesn't mean to say we don't have tears, but those tears are fleeting. And we go through life in joy because he delivered our eyes from tears and our feet from falling. What would have happened if he hadn't delivered our feet from falling? Can you sort of go back through the days, the weeks, the months, the years, and see the crashes that so easily could have befallen you? And the Lord delivered. Hallelujah. And then the psalmist responds. He says, I'm not just going to rest. I'm not just going to rejoice. I'm not just going to keep on praying. Verse 9 says, I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. That is the commitment, the response of those who know the answers to prayer of the Lord. Verse 10 says, I believe, therefore have I spoken. It's amazing, and this is an implication of it here in this psalm, how often in Scripture we get the response of saying something. We know the great truth of God, we enjoy the great truth of God, and then we respond, and the Lord expects us to respond with an open mouth. He's very distressed that those who receive the answers to prayer and don't keep on praying. But verse 10 says, I believe, therefore have I spoken. Keep on speaking up for Jesus. Why does he respond to us? Because he expects us to respond by speaking about him to others. He said, I was greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. And I don't know if you've ever spoken out loud or even in your heart, spoken about the terrible distresses that you find in the world. And Mr. So-and-so cheated you. That's all. He's just a liar. And you might say, well, all men are liars. Well, by the grace of God, they aren't. But the devil is the father of lies. And it's not surprising that his children are going to lie frequently. Don't get terribly distressed by the fact that others lie, but you may very well get heartbroken in the short run. He said, I was greatly afflicted, and it's because all men were liars. That's what he felt. Somehow the Lord resolved even that problem for him, because verse 12 says, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? The evil one is the liar, and he's the deceiver. He's the one who's continually trying to confuse us. And we say, Lord, I'm going to believe you. There's only two out there, aren't there? There's the Lord, and there's the evil one. And the Lord always says, believe me, because he said, I am the truth. And the devil always says, believe me, because he's the father of lies. And we either believe the Lord or we are deceived by the evil one. It's believe or be deceived. You believe the Lord, or you'll be deceived by the evil one. And The psalmist says, I said in my haste, all men are liars, but the Lord was gracious to me. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? What is the response of all the good things the Lord does for us and toward us? What shall I render unto the Lord for all his goodness toward me? And the answer is, I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. So what is the response of the people of God to all this? And the response is that we are to call upon the name of the Lord. I marvel at it. You'd think that you probably would say, I'm going to have to pay more money. I'm going to have to do more work. And the answer is no. I'm going to speak up for the Lord. I'm going to call upon the name of the Lord. It seems so strange that we have to be encouraged to continue to pray. If I were to ask you a very simple question, please raise your hand if you pray too much. How many of you are going to raise your hand? And this, it's weird, isn't it? Why would we not say, of course I pray too much? But we don't. And so the psalmist has to come back to us and say, all right, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? What should I do? And the answer is pray. Okay, and I'm going to encourage you, keep on coming to prayer meeting. What do? You worship the Lord. You keep on coming to the breaking of bread, and you worship. What do when you worship? Brethren, you open your mouths and you worship. And you say, Lord, I am thankful for what you've done. Pay those vows. What kind of vows can you pay in the presence of all the people? All the people are there. What kind of vow can you pay? Well, I guess you can be there. That's one thing. You heard about the deaf mute who used to go to all kinds of church meetings. And people said to him, what you go for? Can't hear anything. You can't say anything. Why do you go? His answer is, I want everybody to know whose side I'm on. You can at least do that. But if you were to pay your vows in the presence of your people, what would you do? And the answer is you'd speak up. And you would say, Lord, I try to figure out what it is you might vow. Pay your vows. When you pray, do you ever vow? Have you ever prayed, Lord, you get me out of this mess, I will? Ever done that? Somebody go like this. Okay? Not everybody does, but many of us do. The psalmist did. You might want to turn to Psalm 51. You remember David in Psalm 51, and he was in great distress because of his sin. It was important and proper that he be in great distress. And he was in this great distress because of his sin. So he says, after he had been involved with Bathsheba, he says, have mercy on me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgression. And then he carries on in verse 10. He says, create in me a clean heart, O God, renew a right spirit within me. And verse 14, deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation. And my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. He says, Lord, you deliver me and I'm going to speak up. He says, verse 15, O Lord, open thou my lips. My mouth shall show forth thy praise. After David was restored to the Lord, he did a lot of preaching. He wrote a lot of psalms. He spoke up. Verse 16, for thou desirest not sacrifice, else I would give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. But the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. And so he is the one who is teaching sinners his ways. I guess that's verse 13, then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. When you pray, expect the answer. When you get the answer, speak up. Don't hesitate to tell people how the Lord answered your prayers. Now, don't hesitate to say good things about the Lord. Having prayed, having had the Lord's answer, call upon him again, but keep on speaking up. Verse 15 says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Why does that verse come at this time? It is a strange time and place, isn't it, for a verse like that? I keep on asking myself the question, there's got to be a reason for this. I believe the reason is that as we recognize the grace of God in our lives, as we recognize all the wonderful things he has done for us, we basically say to self, self, you're just going to have to take the place of death. God has done so many wonderful things for you. Well, you just live for him. And you live that life that has the death element in it. Paul says, I die daily. Well, that's not a pleasant experience, but it's a proper experience. And I believe that among the many responses to the fact that the Lord has heard our prayers is this simple response, I'm going to die to self in order that I might live to the Lord and for that which will glorify him. Verse 16, O Lord, truly I am thy servant and the son of thine handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds, therefore I will offer unto thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving. Keep on telling him, why do we come to the breaking of bread? Because we want to give thanks, that's why. We want to offer the sacrifices of thanksgiving. It is most important that we offer the planned of God sacrifices of thanksgiving. And then he goes on again, verse 18, I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Interesting that verse 14 and verse 18 are the same verse. It's not often that you get this kind of repetition, but here you have it. You've got verse 14 and verse 18, exactly the same words. I will pay my vows. When you pray, oftentimes you say, Lord, if you will do this, I will do that. Do it. I will pay my vows. And as you are in that position of prayer, don't hesitate to make some vows. Sometimes when you're in prayer, you say, Lord, I know why I'm here. I did that and I should not have done that. Okay, what are you going to do after that? You say, Lord, that was wrong. By the grace of God, I won't do it again. Now, live up to that vow. When you're there, you will often find in prayer that you say, well, Lord, this is a problem. And the problem is because, you know, I didn't do that. And so you might say, Lord, if I were in that circumstance again, I would do it. Okay, live up to the vow. The Lord has answered your prayer. That's what this psalm is all about. But twice the statement, I will pay those vows. Verse 19 says, I'm going to do it in the courts of the Lord's house. I'm going to do it in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem. Praise ye the Lord. Well, we've got a marvelous God, and he's done marvelous, wonderful things for us. And that's why we're here this morning. We acknowledge it all. But the response is, open your mouth. Keep on praying. Keep on telling others about him and fulfill those vows that are part of the proper prayer life. Lord, we want to thank you for your word. We want to thank you for encouraging us from your word, because the fact is, Lord, that we have all prayed and you've answered, and we've so often said, wow, what a good God. And so, Lord, we just pray that we might continue to be people of prayer. Many, many issues before us, Lord. Our prayer lists are long. You've been gracious to us, and you've enabled us to share the truth of God with many. But Lord, it's only the Spirit of God that can cause them to come to a knowledge of salvation and grow in the things of God. We pray for them. We pray for ourselves, Lord. Many are our needs: health, spiritual, obedience, faith.